Negatory. Negatory. Hey, Fred.
Yeah. So we're on Citadel 236.
Joe?
An act continuing the existence of the Alaska Transportation Commission and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Commerce has had Senate Bill 236 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 236 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Brown, Chairman, concurred in by Brown, Munson, Osterbach, and Malone. Signing do pass if amended, Halford, Bettesworth, and Randolph. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, do you want us to proceed with the...
Yeah, the call has been satisfied.
Oh, sorry about that. I was going to do something else. Mr. Speaker, let's see. I move that the... how do you do this?
The Commerce Committee substitute.
I know, but I move that the House Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
The House Commerce Committee substitute has been moved in lieu of the original bill, Senate Bill 236. The House, please stand at ease. Adoption of the Commerce Committee substitute, Senate Bill Number 236. Representative Chatterton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The motion before us, any subsequent motions on this bill, including the vote on the final passage of the bill, presents a conflict of interest for me, and I would respectfully be asked to be permitted not to vote and ask unanimous consent. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, the Commerce Committee decided not to extend the ETC by 1 year, but to do it by 2 years. There are a lot of very real and practical reasons why something this sensitive, to be quite frank, probably ought not to come up for sunset review in an election year with the whole transportation industry involved. Also, there are some partial deregulations of the transportation industry in here. Several of them are effective this summer. One of them is not effective until next summer. The ones that would be effective this summer would relate to rotary wing aircraft, would relate to buses and ferries that are not owned by the state of Alaska. The state-owned ones are not regulated anyway, and in fact, that only applies to one ferry. And yet there's this entire chapter of Alaska statutes relating to regulating that one ferry in your community, Mr. Speaker. It also deregulates towing and wrecking, and at the same time, it also would have a partial deregulation in the air taxi industry, but not until summer of 1980. The reason for that is that the members of the committee were concerned that there be a deregulation in the fixed-wing area, but that we have a full opportunity to examine it again next year as an item separate from the rest of the entire transportation industry. And I have made a commitment that I'll be introducing a bill in that regard so that there will be a bill coming out of my committee next year that will probably have a different or somewhat different treatment of unscheduled single-engine small aircraft that are not in scheduled service. We had an incredible amount of hours spent on this thing. Commerce Committee was very patient, including going with our last of our public hearings using the committee room and the teleconferencing network until 2 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday from a meeting that started 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday, about the third or fourth meeting on the subject. Greatly appreciate the support of the House on this matter, and I urge the passage of the Commerce Committee substitute.
Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know if this means I'm not supposed to say anything or what. I will anyway. And, Mr. Speaker, I objected to the adoption of the Commerce Committee substitute. I'd just like to very briefly, if I can, give the reason why I've done so. I'm going to vote against the Commerce Committee substitute. I, of course, haven't spent the time with this bill that the Commerce Committee has, and I realize that, and I appreciate the fact that they've put in a lot of time and effort on it. However, several questions have come to my mind that bother me, and I think perhaps the deregulation of the air taxi operators that are proposed in the Commerce Committee substitute may be a mistake, and I'd like to give you some background, some information, which I imagine the Commerce Committee has had, but maybe other members on this floor have not had access to. I think there are several questions that have gone unanswered. It's, as I understand, of course, it's much more expensive, and I think everyone will agree with me, it's much more expensive for air taxi operators, state-located, Alaska-based air taxi operators to operate within this state than it is for someone who has an operation in one of the southern 48 states, say in the state of Washington, for example. It's more expensive because they have, high cost. There's workman's comp, there's just high wages, high utilities, high cost of getting their aircraft up here, keeping repairs, and so on. It's a high cost industry. While on the other hand, someone based outside the state does not incur all those costs. As I understand it, what the Commerce Committee substitute does here, under the deregulation, would allow the intrusion into Alaska of non-Alaskan-based firms. And of course, those firms will probably be able to provide the service then at a much lower rate because they don't have to incur the high cost that an Alaska-based firm has to incur. I don't know if that question has been looked at sufficiently. I don't hate to question the Commerce Committee and the work they did on it. I think they took testimony on that. But I disagree with what they've come up with. I don't believe that we should be proposing deregulation in this area. Information that I've been provided with shows that at least 75% of all the commercially operated aircraft will be deregulated under the Commerce Committee substitute, under the Commerce Committee proposal. There's about 1,000 aircraft registered within the state in air commerce. 75% of those, or 750 of them, will fall under this deregulation taking place in the Commerce Committee substitute, and that can have a tremendous impact on the kind of service that can be provided in the state, and of course can cause, I think, a great intrusion into Alaska by non-Alaskan firms. Four or five questions have been presented to me that I just want to read to you and let you think about it before we vote on whether or not we should adopt a Commerce Committee substitute as to what the adverse effects of deregulation proposed in this bill might have. There won't be any supervision. FAA will not be able to supervise the influx of uncontrolled air commerce under the Commerce Committee substitute. It'll be much more difficult and perhaps even impossible for the state to assure that all operations are safe and properly insured, because they no longer will have the control, no longer have the regulation. Service to some of our rural areas, some of our bush communities, by qualified scheduled operators will probably deteriorate, will probably go down. And I've also been informed that perhaps the ability of the federal government to subsidize better service to the bush as proposed will be adversely affected with this deregulation. And because, of course, I went back to the initial point, because of the high cost of doing business in Alaska, just as I mentioned, the high cost of salaries, because they are much higher than they are elsewhere, the high cost of workers' compensation rates, the high cost of just everything else that people face up here, will have an adverse effect on the air commerce industry here. Actually, it probably will cause a flow of Alaskan dollars to outside firms. And when we're talking about 75% of all the air taxi operators being affected, being deregulated, that's a substantial sum of money. It could have a substantial effect on the employment in that industry in the state. Now, they might be able to survive in the summertime when the business is great and employ those people. But will they be able to keep them on throughout the winter months? Will they be able to survive at that time under this deregulation? I think those are substantial questions. I think they're ones that should be answered before we proceed with adopting the Commerce Committee substitute. I'm not sure they have an answer, but I would urge the members of the body to vote against the Commerce Committee substitute.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, what Mr. Duncan addresses is probably something that should be addressed, but it really would be much better addressed after the committee substitute's adopted. The Senate bill does nothing. It doesn't, you know, if Mr. Duncan really is concerned about that particular point, then that could, he could propose an amendment when we get on to the committee substitute on that one point of the bill, which is only one point he addressed. It is not a sufficient justification for failing to adopt the Commerce Committee substitute.
Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, reply to several of the points that were made. First of all, the idea that there be no supervision. For one thing, again, the provision that was addressed by the member from Juneau does not take effect until June 30, 1980, and we will, in fact, be addressing the matter both during the interim in the House Commerce Committee and this next year. In addition to that, there's been a statement made that the service to the Bush may be hurt, but in fact, I guess that depends upon which advocate you're talking to. There are advocates from both sides of the issue in service in the Bush. And as a matter of fact, we had letters from people in the lower Yukon and Kuskokwim area, including from the head of the Association of Village Council Presidents, strongly urging us to totally abolish the Alaska Transportation Commission rather than do a bit of surgery like this. One of the things that happens is people get grandfathered into a certificate that was issued years ago. There are several certificates that were issued that really predate the Air Commerce Act of 1960, and those people continue to operate and also buy and sell those certificates, and sometimes that may or may not bear a relationship to what the current public convenience and necessity is, even though at least according under the law it ought to, but that has not unfortunately been the practice of the Alaska Transportation Commission on a consistent basis. Now, with regard to any problem under the Air Deregulation Act of 1978, I don't think that there's any problem in that regard. At the time that the hearings were before our committee, we obtained information and copies of the bill itself. It was available to the members of the committee. We did look at it. It is our understanding that Congress mandated that there be subsidization into areas that need air service, and most of that relates to scheduled service. This does not relate to scheduled service. And under the current law, I believe the direction from Congress is that the monies are to go to the local areas. There is some discretion, that is the villages and the small communities themselves. There is some discretion. I understand that in fact there's been some testimony by the grandfathered in air taxi, or rather air carriers, before the Civil Aeronautics Board head over the last 2-3 days in this community, trying to get the subsidization to go to the particular carriers. Again, in most cases that means scheduled service, so that doesn't relate to what the provision in the bill is, but also that is not assured that that's what the CAB is going to do, and the preference apparently of Congress is that the subsidies go to the particular villages. In any case, because of the delayed effective date of this particular section on deregulation, that should not be a problem either, because certainly during the interim and early next session we will know for sure exactly what actions the Civil Aeronautics Board has taken with regard to this very good for Alaska provision that was put in the Air Deregulation Act of 1978. So I suspect that it might even be that some of the testimony offered before the head of the CAB in this town the last 2 days and in Anchorage currently may be in an attempt really to present an appearance to influence the vote on this bill. I'm not sure of that, but that could well be, certainly if I were lobbying on that side of the issue, that'd be one of the things I'd try to do. I strongly urge the passage of the Commerce Committee substitute.
Representative Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a conflict of interest in this area also, in that I have one of the original pre-1960 certificates, but I don't particularly want to be excused because I'm not voting that conflict. But to run through some of the things that are brought up. One of the things that people try to or attempt to throw in sometimes is a safety argument, when in fact the ATC has no safety function. The FAA has a very comprehensive safety function. It includes pilot medical checks, annual check rides in each type of aircraft, base inspections, maintenance inspection, inspections of the aircraft, and ongoing inspections throughout the operation. The ATC deals strictly in where you fly and who you compete with. And the safety argument would have you believe that the more money monopolies can make, the safer they are. I don't think there's any justification behind that. It's interesting to note what other states do in the regulation in this area. There are very few states that regulate air commerce in any way, and there's, I think, only one state that regulates air commerce beyond the extent that we do. There are a number of large states that are dependent on transportation that do not regulate air commerce. The arguments made that we can protect Alaskan operators and we can maintain employment in Alaska by maintaining the current ATC. In fact, under the current rules of the ATC, there's nothing to prohibit operators from having certificates up here, from maintaining their airplanes outside, from slowing down their operation to just one aircraft in the wintertime, 30 aircraft in the summertime. Instead of protecting Alaskan operators, what's really happening is because of the value of certificates, Alaskan operators can't afford to buy the certificates. And I think the results are pretty evident in the helicopter industry. Woods Air Service, when they wanted to sell out, the only customer that could afford to buy them was Rocky Mountain Aviation outside. Alaska Helicopters, Columbia Helicopters in Oregon. Anchorage Helicopters went to Air Logistics out of Louisiana. Livingston went to Rowan. Evergreen, Arrow, Merrick are also owned outside. Regulation isn't protecting Alaskans. It's really protecting the outside operators that are already here from Alaskans who can't get into the business. Thank you.
Representative Hurlburt.
Mr. Speaker, I'd also like to support the committee substitute. The idea that it's the rural areas are opposed to that is not what I've got. I've got a letter here from Eddie Hoffman, who is chairman of the 57 Villages, Alaska Village Council Presidents, and he strongly supports deregulation. The idea, I disagree also with this economic value that it's supposed to place on the air taxis. Now, if I'm a flight instructor, and when you take the same aircraft, which is under not deregulated, they have the same insurance coverage as an air taxi operator, the same pilot qualifications, the instructor and the versus the commercial air taxi type. I submit that the Commerce Act, the ATC portion is just to protect the economic person that has the certificate, because the flight instructor airplane can fly at about half the same cost, and it's just a turf protecting situation.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, there was one item I left out in explaining the differences, and one of them is that with regard to anyone who is required or would be exempt or exempt after next year if the legislature takes no further action under the bill, we have not exempted them from insurance requirements. And as a matter of fact, if you look at page 3, line 3, you'll find the section titled Insurance or Deposit of Security on Exempt Carriers. The committee felt very strongly about that matter, and that basically is the only area where these exempt carriers would continue to be regulated. They would have to show that they have insurance, but that's all.
Question before the House is the adoption of the Commerce Committee substitute, Senate Bill 236. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Schaefer? Are there others? Representative Freeman? Clerk, please take the final roll.
We'll avoid that roll call. The House, please stand. I suspect somebody was glad to see that. Will the Chief Clerk please announce the vote on the adoption of the Commerce Committee substitute?
26 yeas, 13 nays, 26 yeas, 13 nays, 1 not voting.
Commerce Committee substitute has been adopted. Will the Clerk please read the First Amendment?
Amendment number 1 by Mr. McKinnon. This is 2 pages long. It's been duplicated and placed on your desk. It begins with page 1, line 7.
Representative McKinnon.
I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment. Mr. Speaker, what this does is reverse an action that we took in the closing minutes of last session when the Senate tacked a provision onto a bill that we were interested in and forced us to accept. What they did at that time was remove the Alaska Transportation Commission from the provisions of the Salary Commission. At that time and at this time, I can't find any good public policy reason for saying that one regulatory commission, for some particular reason, should be compensated in a different manner than the other regulatory commissions. This would reverse the action we took last year. It would not reduce the salaries of the current members of the Transportation Commission until a new report of the Salary Commission was adopted by the legislature.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, as the member who had to carry that bill last year with this deletion in it, I'm so glad to see that turkey coming out. I strongly endorse the amendment.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I consider this kind of a neutral amendment with regard to any of the other policy matters considered by the Sunset to review and the bill itself, and I think if anyone feels they're committed to me or to the Commerce Committee one way or the other, they probably, I'm sure that they'll want to, and I urge that they vote on the merits of the amendment.
Question for the House is the adoption of Amendment Number 1. Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, question Mr. Brown. How do I vote? He said vote on the merits.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I think there's a lot of merit to the amendment, and there were no merits to the entire package that this body was, they weren't forced to swallow it last year, but they did at the on the last night of the session. It was a real fat bill for some fat cats, and this was in the back page, hidden someplace. So I'd say the smart thing to do is vote for the amendment.
Representative Brown.
Well, in response to Mr. Hayes, or rather the minority leader's question, I'm sure that his judgment of whether it's a good or bad amendment is what the merits are for the purposes of his vote, and I assume he's going to vote that way.
Question for the House is the adoption of Amendment Number 1. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? The clerk may take the final roll.
Yeas, 9 nays, 1 not voting.
The House has adopted Amendment Number 1. Clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment Number 2 by Mr. Duncan. Page 1, line 14. Delete Section 2. Renumber following sections accordingly.
Representative Duncan. Representative Duncan.
Take the section out of the bill that deregulates the air tax calculation.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, previous speaker earlier referred to information furnished him. I'd like to do the same thing, refer to information furnished me, which I have not had an opportunity to verify completely. But a young man who is an air taxi pilot couldn't get a license in Fairbanks, so he had to get licensed out of Delta. And he can take, according to what he tells me, a passenger down to one of the fishing lakes. But if the passenger wants them to go to another fishing lake a few miles away, he can't take him because he is not because that's restricted to the people who have licenses in Fairbanks. So the guy would the fisherman would have them to call back to Fairbanks and have them send somebody out to pick him up and take him to the second lake. I think we'd all agree that's a fairly stupid system if that information is accurate. And information I have also indicates that for 12 years in my district, in the Fairbanks area, there was not a single new air taxi license issued. Now, Mr. Speaker, if that's the case, there's something radically wrong. And so far, I really heard no good arguments that advanced to me as to why this deregulation is bad.
Representative Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just in speaking to the air taxis only, I'd like to read something out of the original Air Taxi, the original Air Commerce Act of 1960. Every time we hear something that we're going to lose on, we say, study it a little further, don't do it right now. In 1960, this was the language on page 2 of the Air Commerce Act. Maintain air transport service in the state on an economically sound basis, pending a study of the air transportation needs of the state. That was, I say, 19 years ago. They started to regulate pending a study. They still haven't had the study, and I don't think they ever will.
Representative Moss. What's before the House is the adoption of Amendment Number 2. Question has been called for. Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to make one more point. When I first spoke on the Commerce Committee substitute, I mentioned one of the things that had been brought to my attention was the impossibility or the difficulty the state would face in assuring that the operations are safe. And I think Representative Halford, who is surely much more familiar with the air industry than I am, I admit that, indicated that they still have to meet safety requirements by FAA and so on, so there'd be no problem. But I think being certified to fly and knowing how to fly in Alaska are two different things. And you may be certified to fly and you've met all the requirements and you know how to handle that airplane in Washington or in someplace else. But when you come to Alaska and are flying, I'm not sure that means you're flying a safe or doing a safe job. There are many different weather conditions, many other factors that affect that. So if you do away with the deregulation, you're not assuring that you've got a pilot that knows Alaska. What happens in the summertime when the jobs are there, when they really have the call, they bring in the pilots from the outside. Those pilots haven't flown in Alaska before, and I don't think they're meeting all the safety standards that probably should be met.
Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, the commissioners all admitted and agreed in our hearings. We had all of them before us in person, and then when one had to fly back to, two of them had to fly back to Anchorage by teleconference, they all agreed that, in fact, the Alaska Transportation Commission does nothing about air safety. It is not skilled in that area. This is a difference with regard to its obligations and expertise with regard to surface safety. And basically, it relies on the Federal Aviation Agency in the same manner as does everyone else. So the Alaska Transportation Commission has no role in air safety, and all the matters involving air safety in Alaska are addressed by the Federal Aviation Agency and by the Alaska Air Carriers Association.
Representative Halford.
Thank you. The point that Representative Duncan brings up would lead us to think that maybe the ATC does something that helps safety. I would submit that the only thing that they do is they drive the certificates up to the value that many Alaskan operators can't afford to stay in the business in the state. I don't think dollar value is a standard of safety, and that's really all the commission does in that area.
Representative Hurlburt.
Yeah, I'd like to go over this safety bit. I know...